Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the Monday edition for the show. It was Bombs Away Sunday at Little Caesars Arena on Star Wars night. And you can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. I'm also pushing for you to follow the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, Locked On Pistons, at Locked On Pistons. Easy one to know. But we're going to go deep into that Sunday afternoon victory for the Pistons against the Orlando Magic in downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. And I'm going to give my thoughts on the three-point trend and how that game where the Pistons and Magic combined for 34 triples, how that went as a fan, and want to get your thoughts on that as well. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to go around the league and talk about some of the hot teams at the top of the standings and also the Pistons as part of the emerging middle class in the Eastern Conference. I guess it makes sense for the Detroit team to be part of a strong middle class in the NBA. But anyway, we've got Draft Wednesday coming up in a couple days, so get on there, get on draft.com, the draft app. Use promo code LOPISTONS, and you will get into our private Locked On Pistons drafts for free. Also, go on iTunes and give us a review. Hopefully it's a five-star review, but any kind of review that you think the show warrants, it helps drive up our iTunes rankings and more eyeballs can see the podcast, so more earballs can be listened to and get some more subscribers that way as well. And also, when you're going to the holidays and you're talking to your family and your friends and those are Pistons fans, say, hey, I know about this Locked On Pistons podcast. That's a good one that you should try and digest your daily Detroit Pistons content that way. But the Pistons got a 114-110 win against the Orlando Magic on Sunday afternoon. It was the Detroit's third straight win after they had seven losses in a row to open up the month of December. The game win also snapped a three-game home losing streak for the Pistons in the friendly confines of Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons made 17 three-pointers, tying a franchise record in front of what seemed about a few dozen, maybe a few hundred fans at Little Caesars Arena. The team had 16 three-pointers after three and then largely cooled off in the fourth quarter as Orlando went on a ridiculous late 19-0 run to close to five late in the game. But Hezonja actually did miss a three-pointer at one point, and then Tobias Harris came down against his former team and had a big crucial bucket in the lane that kind of sealed the victory. The Pistons moved to 17-13 and are now currently back at the four seed in the Eastern Conference. They're tied with Indiana record-wise for those four and five spots, but have out-tiebreak them at this point. But they're still one and a half games away from ahead of the ninth spot. So they're one and a half games of being outside of the playoffs. So it's not like they've completely recovered from that swoon they went on last week and the week prior to that as well. A career high 20 points for starter Reggie Bullock, who has played well since being inserted into the starting five. It was his third straight start for Stan Van Gundy. He knocked down some threes, as did everyone, including Anthony Tolliver, who had a season-high 17 points, including five threes off the bench. He was strong, as he has been through these first 30 games for the Pistons. Avery Bradley missed his second straight game with a groin injury. Sounds like that he could be back sometime soon. He also missed Friday night's victory against the Indiana Pacers on the road, which is the second of a back-to-back after the Pistons beat the Hawks on the road on Thursday night as well. The Magic on Sunday were missing Aaron Gordon, Terrence Ross, Aaron Aflalo, and Evan Fournier. Jonathan Isaac, the rookie from Florida State, he returned after missing 17 games, and now the Magic have dropped five straight in 16 of 19. They're truly one of the terrible teams in the Eastern Conference and ravaged by injuries right now, so you can't really judge them on where they're at exactly at this precise moment. But the good news for the Pistons is they get them again in another week or so, so on the road, so the Pistons could have another layup coming ahead as well. Mario Hezonja, as I mentioned, the fifth pick of the 2015 draft, has been a huge bust for the Orlando Magic organization, but he had 28 points and made eight threes on Sunday against the Pistons. Doesn't change anything about the fact that his career is pretty much going nowhere at this point. And it doesn't really, it's not really, it might end up being a statistical career highlight for him, but he's an NBA player and he knocked down some open shots. I think we've seen that throughout the league that these guys are all really good. And he's not the, you know, some of the YouTube clips that were coming out before the draft in 2015 that he was like a clever, crafty European player. He hasn't really shown that at all in the NBA. Pretty much seems disinterested out there and could be back in Europe for good as early as next year. So if you bought Mario Hezonja stock, hopefully you shorted it a little bit and didn't get too excited about his career. He was picked right after Kristaps Porzingis of the Knicks in the same draft that Stanley Johnson went eighth. So he was a guy that a lot of Pistons fans were watching those YouTube clips getting a little enamored about and maybe wanted him at that eighth slot. So good thing that the Pistons ended up not getting his own yet, because at least Johnson's been able to contribute defensively and has some potential as far as a player down the road. But the Magic, I mean, if you're talking to some Pistons fans or maybe during that swoon or coming into the season and people are talking about tanking, the Orlando Magic are an example right in front of us of why it might not be a great idea sometimes. It's not just as simple as just being bad and getting, you know, a Dwight Howard in the draft like they did several years back. Or, you know, a player like Karl Anthony Towns or some of those players that are available at the number one pick certain years. Sometimes you end up with that second pick in a bad draft, the fourth pick in a bad draft or something like that. Or you go down the list into the eighth or the ninth pick. The Magic selected Domantas Sabonis and traded him for Serge Ibaka in a package with Victor Oladipo, who they had picked with the second pick a few years back, a couple years ago on draft night. Serge Ibaka is no longer with them and is no longer helping the Orlando Magic organization. Aaron Gordon, before he was injured recently, he's been playing a lot better. He was the fourth pick a few years back as well. Andrew Nicholson, Courtney Lee, Daniel Orton, Dario Saric, who they drafted and then traded on draft night for Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton as their point guard. I mean, these are just names that are not high-impact NBA players. So if you're talking about building through the draft as it being like a sure thing, it's definitely not. I don't see Elfrid Payton's career really going anywhere. I know he's a starting point guard for them, but he's definitely in the bottom third of starting point guards in this league. And in year three, there's just not a lot there that you look at and say, well, here's a reason why this guy is going to turn into a high-impact NBA player. And he's got some crazy hair, by the way, that is a strange one to watch throughout the game. And you've noticed that if you're an NBA fan before. But speaking of those Magic, Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard were both there in 2011 and 12. And since then, the five seasons since, the 2011 and 12 season, since the five seasons since then, the Magic have won over 30 games just one time. And that year with Scott Skiles is 1 year coaching Orlando. They still finish 8 games under 500. And general manager Rob Hennigan was ceremoniously fired this past offseason, and he was bounced for some of those bad draft picks. The Serge Ibaka trade was probably the one that ended up ultimately getting him canned. And that's why John Hammond is now down there, the former Joe Dumars lieutenant, who ended up crafting the Bucks a little bit along the way, drafting Giannis with the Bucks, and now he's down in Orlando trying to fix up a situation that's really, truly awful down there. But they got a good coach, a well-respected coach in Frank Vogel, who directed some good Indiana Pacers teams over the years as well. So just a mess in Orlando. But the good news is for the Pistons is that they get them again very soon. The Pistons return to action Wednesday night against Dallas, who is at the very bottom of the Western Conference standings. So another pushover for the Pistons, but a road game. And Dirk Nowitzki with them, and we'll talk more about the Mavericks later on in the week, but a game that the Pistons should win once again. And then Friday night at home against the Knicks, we'll see on that one. And then the night after Christmas, they're going to be home after taking a few days off for the holidays. Good for the Pistons, by the way, and at home for them, too. The night after Christmas, they're going to be at home for the Indiana Pacers in a big Central Division matchup on Tuesday, the 26th. And then on the 28th, like I said, down in Orlando to take on these Magic again before returning home and wrapping up the 2017 slate of portion of the season with a December 30th Saturday night game against the San Antonio Spurs, a game that Bill and Diane Shook, my parents, will be at for their first maiden voyage at Little Caesars Arena. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, to find out more.
Yes, sir!
I didn't want to lose in the shuffle that the Pistons' Friday night win against the Indiana Pacers, 104-98, was Stan Van Gundy's 500th career win. So congratulations to the coach for that one. 23-13 from his big center, Andre Drummond, and 13-6 from Stanley Johnson off the bench. He was good in the second quarter. He looked really comfortable with the second unit out there. But talking about Stan Van Gundy and tying it in with the Pistons' victory on Sunday, where they went 17 of 34 from three-point land and were the second-best three-point shooting team in that game as the Orlando Magic edged them out percentage-wise, 17 of 33, despite dropping the game to the Pistons. At times throughout that game, I just kind of had the thought of, man, three-point shooting is just not that fan-friendly of a thing. And I know that done at its best, done at its highest level, of course it is any kind of thing with greatness, any kind of athletic feat where Steph Curry's dropping bombs from 5 feet beyond the three-point land or dropping 10 in a row or what the Warriors and Klay Thompson and Curry are together are able to do. It's a thing of beauty, and watching the Houston Rockets can often be a fun exercise as well. But that's talking about the cream of the crop, that Steph Curry and the Warriors were kind of a revelation. I kind of would prefer to watch, you know, the NBA players who are some of the best athletes in the world, as we'll talk about with one of our guests on Tuesday's podcast, an interview that I actually taped tonight that I'm excited about. A two-time Olympic medalist is going to be joining us to talk Detroit Pistons, to tease that one a little bit. But, you know, I'd kind of rather watch NBA players out in transition, maybe all the amount of running and athleticism that entails, and also being able to contort themselves in the air and traffic, make things happen in small spaces, and maybe even use some physicality and some of the muscles that they have to dominate a guy defensively. Of course, we always like the highlights of Giannis and LeBron going up and dunking in traffic and things like that. And we all appreciate the ball movement and the spacing of the Pistons and all NBA teams right now as they try to get as many open three-pointers as possible. And again, I want to emphasize that I'm not saying that the Pistons are doing something wrong. I'm not saying that the Orlando Magic did something wrong on Sunday night. They're keeping up with the other teams in the NBA. If you can't make three-pointers, you're not going to be a winning NBA team in today's climate. There's just no doubt about that. The Pistons had a major issue with their three-point shooting last season. It was part of their biggest problem. Maybe it was their biggest problem. They addressed it heavily in the offseason, changing around some of their schemes offensively and their personnel, adding players like Langston Galloway, adding players like Luke Kennard in the draft, Anthony Tolliver returning to the Pistons as well. Avery Bradley can knock it down when he's right. So I'm not saying that this is a criticism of Stan Van Gundy or the organization. I'm just saying as far as enjoyment for the fans, and I know we all like to watch games that are 120 to 115 more than the Pistons and the Pacers from 05 that were 80 to 75 on a good night. But I think that there was something to be said for those grinded out battles and more two-pointers and more, you know, work in the lane and more difficult shots as opposed to, and again, I'm not knocking the way that these players are playing right now. They're doing the right thing. They're being coached to do these things. They're moving the ball. They're making the extra pass. But I'm going to go back to a quote that Stan Van Gundy had a few weeks back when he was talking about this very topic. He said, "I think when it gets to the point where all you're doing is coming to watch guys shoot the ball, I don't know how exciting that is," he said after a recent practice. "I do know there's fewer and fewer of those great plays at the rim where guys are attacking and shot blockers are coming. We don't see much of that anymore. You just don't. It's just drive the ball, throw it out, and shoot a three." And I agree with him. I mean, he goes on to say, "That's the game, but we're trying to play it. It's an effective way to play. For the league, I don't know. It'll be interesting over the years to see if that's exciting for the fans to watch. Guys shooting jump shots the entire game. I don't know. We have the best athletes in the world, and they're standing at the three-point line shooting the ball." Now, again, watching Steph Curry shoot the ball, you know, in warm-ups before the game is fun because he's probably the best who's ever done it. But there's just not as many of those guys out there. And guys like Anthony Tolliver are knocking down 5 threes. Guys like Mario Hezonja are knocking down threes. They're NBA players. They can make shots. And if that's what they're practicing and that's what they're trained to do, that's great. But I just, when it gets to every team is just shooting 35 three-pointers a night, I just don't think that this is the most fan-friendly brand of basketball that we could possibly have out there. I want to get your thoughts on this. So if you have any ideas, if you're ever watching Pistons games or NBA games lately, I think, man, I can get out there and shoot three-pointers. I'm obviously not as good of a player, as good of a shooter, and you guys aren't as good of a shooter as these NBA guys, and there's no doubt about that. But it's something that anyone can do, whereas not a lot of the listeners, a lot of the fans or the people on Twitter during games can drive down the lane in traffic and dunk over people. And I think that's something that, as a basketball fan, maybe we'd want to see that a little bit more. So get in touch with me at Twitter at @Matt_SCHOCH and another underscore after that. Also respond to the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. Let me know if you think I'm way off in my assessment that maybe this isn't the direction as far as fans' enjoyment that the NBA wants to go in. But we're going to go around the league a little bit and talk about some of these high-flying and three-point shooting teams as well who are leading the league here on Locked On Pistons. And here's a topic that popped in my mind today that I wanted to pass along to you guys because I looked it up in case you're making your holiday plans for next week. Christmas Day schedule. And the NBA has turned it into a bunch of featured matchups on national TV. So on ESPN, it starts off at noon Eastern time with the Philadelphia 76ers, the young, hot Philly 76ers, who are right now out of the playoffs. So don't get too excited about the 76ers yet. They are at Madison Square Garden to take on the Knicks. For a noon game. Then at 3 p.m. Eastern time, it's the rematch of the NBA Finals from several years ago, last year, the year before that, every year in the future as well, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, LeBron. And he will be getting help soon, but probably not as soon as Christmas Day. More on that in a little bit. But at 5:30, stays on ABC for the Washington Wizards against the Boston Celtics. A game you could probably take a nap in if you woke up early on Christmas morning. 8 o'clock on ABC, it's going to be the league-leading Houston Rockets taking on the new-look Oklahoma City Thunder, James Harden, against his former team. Always an interesting matchup there. And then at 10:30 for the late crowd, 10:30 Eastern time, switching over to TNT for the Minnesota Timberwolves, taking on Lonzo Ball and the LA Lakers for a big one there. Just wanted to pass along the East standings. Generally speaking, right now, the Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Toronto Raptors have turned themselves into a clear-cut 1-2-3. They're in that order right now, but pretty close after Boston's hot start that Cleveland and Toronto are right on their heels. I believe Toronto's 11-1 at home, and the Pistons will be heading there in January and always have a tough time north of the border. Then it turns into the middle class below that. Pistons, Pacers, Knicks, Bucks, Wizards, Miami, Philly, with two of those teams will not be making the playoffs, as that covers the top 10 when you look at all those 10 teams in totality. So they're really jumbled up right now. Hopefully the soft schedule for the Pistons in the next couple weeks can get them a little bit of a separation, get maybe a little bit closer to that top three as opposed to the five teams below them there in that group. But going around the league a little bit, the Houston Rockets, as we mentioned, the league leaders right now. They've won 13 in a row, 24-4, league's best record. James Harden getting NBA talk, MVP talk again. He has finished second in that award last year and then another year, a couple years before that as well. This might be his season, although there is another guy in Cleveland who's probably earned it, well, definitely earned it so far, and might be able to hold on for another NBA crown, MVP crown for him as well. Big win Saturday night for the San Antonio Spurs. Manu Ginobili, 40 years old, and he is a man, definitely at 40. He stopped the inbound pass from being made by the Dallas Mavericks when the game was tied up as the Spurs made a big comeback. And then on the ensuing possession, made the game winner on a layup against the Mavericks to get the win. So a second game-winning shot in a short amount of time for Manu Ginobili and the San Antonio Spurs. Hats off to him for the culmination of an outstanding career. Although he hasn't announced that this is his last year or anything, one believes that we're probably towards the end of Manu Ginobili's career, I would believe, at 40 years old. But also around the league, news broke from Yahoo Sports on Sunday that Isaiah Thomas is eyeing his season debut for the Cleveland Cavaliers to be in the first week of January. Coincidentally, his Cavaliers will be back in Boston, the team that traded him in the offseason, unexpectedly, for a January 3rd game. So we'll see if Isaiah is back for that one or shortly thereafter. He has a hip problem that the teams knew about when they made the deal, but there was rumors that he might be missing almost the entire regular season. Then there were rumors that he might be coming back in December. But for now, first week of January, I'm excited to see how he fits in with some of those guys with the Cleveland Cavaliers. By the way, the Pistons have a back-to-back with the Cavs coming up on January 28th and 30th, a home-and-home with the arrivals from the Central Division. So they should get their first look of Isaiah Thomas in a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform late in January. LeBron, like I mentioned, while Harden is garnering some MVP attention. LeBron is the man right now. He is just making it happen. You'll probably heard about it by now, but on Sunday in Washington, D.C., he wore one white and one black shoe, the new Nike Equality shoe, kind of address his way of addressing some of the racial strife and issues that go all the way up to the White House here. He talked about the shoes in the postgame. He didn't mention President Donald Trump by name, but he said something like, you know where we are, in reference to Washington, D.C., and you know who's at the helm, in reference to President Trump. So LeBron James not shy about using his voice, not explicitly, but in a little bit in terms of his political ideas and revelation and whatnot, but you know, still using it kind of a marketing thing. It's a shoe thing as well. And in this political culture, even companies have to kind of throw their hat in the ring as far as the political discourse that's going on as well. It's a crazy time we're living in. Obviously, you know all about that. But LeBron James is kind of trying to stay in the news for not just his basketball play, which has been outstanding lately. On Sunday against the Wizards in a win, he had his third straight triple-double. The Cavs have won 18 of 19 games. Right now in the season, he is averaging 28.1 points per game, 8 rebounds, and 9.1 assists. Those 9.1 assists are a career high. For King James, the 28.1 points per game are the most points per game he's had of any season since he was 25, and that was the last year of his first go-round with the Cleveland Cavaliers when he was a youngster. Man, think about how long ago that seems like right now, and think about how long ago that seems for him, if you can imagine that. He is shooting 57.9% from the floor on field goals, which is a ridiculous number. That's a career high. And he is 32. He's going to be 33 in 2 weeks right before the turn of the new year. He's sixth in the league in field goal percentage. And the guys he's behind, we're talking about Clint Capella. We're talking about just guys, DeAndre Jordan, guys who are strictly centers, who are finishing alley-oops, who are finishing putbacks, who are always around the rim. He's doing things that are just ridiculous statistically right now as he's carrying a Cleveland Cavaliers team that isn't as good as they were last year when they had Kyrie Irving, but we will see when Isaiah Thomas comes back what this team looks like as they start thinking about the postseason as the calendar turns a little bit here. LeBron's also shooting 77% from the free throw line this year, which was up from a off year he had last year when he shot 67% from the line. He's third in the league in minutes per game, which is ridiculous, and Tyronn Lue should probably be disciplined for some of the abuse he's putting on LeBron's body, although there's no wear and tear to be shown so far. Anyways, third in the league in minutes per game and first in total minutes, as he's only missed one of his team's 31 games so far this year. But if you believe in LeBron or if you got some thoughts on some other NBA players, get in Draft Wednesday on draft.com and the Draft app. You don't have to play in our special Lockdown Pistons drafts. You can also play against players and all sorts of leagues throughout the app as well. They've always got them going on. You could sign up and have a draft in minutes as well. And the draft itself will be over in minutes too. But when you sign up, use promo code LOPISTONS as well. Very excited about Tuesday's podcast that you guys can check out too. We're going to be talking about the international flavor of the NBA and how the game is catching on globally, especially your Detroit Pistons. I talked to a special guest on Sunday for the interview that's going to air on Tuesday about a famous Detroit Pistons fan, a two-time Olympic medalist, how he became a Pistons fan, and how that's going over in his home country as well. But I want to thank everyone for listening to Locked On Pistons, and have a good start to the week, everyone.